JanielleH.com presents The Screaming Well, a dramatization based on the Heather blog serial. Written by Janelle Harry Charan. Narrated by Christina Roberts. Featuring the voice of Chelsea Cook as Heather, Angie Sillow as Janice, and Dolly as Elizabeth. Chapter 1, Premonitions.
The dull roar of moving wind filled Heather's ears. She shivered, looking for some point of reference to orient herself. All she could see were rocks and narrow passageways. An eerie amber glow was everywhere, emanating from a hole in the wall. It was too far and small for her to reach in to see what it was, though. Still, Heather tiptoed and stuck her hand in, trying to reach the strange object without success. As she tried to stretch further, a low groan reached her ears. Her frantic eyes looked about and saw a large, dark form crawling towards her. With a gasp, her eyes bolted open. Bright sunlight shone through her window. Birds sang outside. The smell of coffee and eggs reached her nose. Heather sat there for a moment, trying to catch her breath. Her eyes scanned the room, which was familiar to her for the month she lived here.
"Why do I keep having that dream?"
she asked herself. Heather slowly slipped out of bed, pulling the cover straight and basking in the sunlight for a moment. The warmth eased any leftover feelings from the night terror. Taking a deep breath, she walked over to a pile of folded clothes on a crate, starting to get dressed. She stood in front of a full-length mirror, idly staring at her face for a good minute or two as she put her corset on. She frowned at a handwritten note at the side of the mirror, which was a list of what she needed to wear from Elizabeth. While Heather certainly did her best to follow the rules, it was sometimes too inconvenient, or she was in too big of a hurry to care. Still, she supposed that's why Elizabeth had written her a to-do list for such a simple thing. Heather finished getting dressed, reaching to fasten the ties on her apron. However, her hands fumbled and tugged uselessly at the apron ribbons. They were thicker and more stylish than her old apron used to be. She tried once again, then twice with no luck. She felt bad for being this clumsy, but there was nothing to be done except try again and keep at it until she got better at it. With a defeated sigh and feeling a bit bad about herself, she exited the room and headed downstairs for breakfast. Heather reached the bottom of the stairs of the lower floor, heading towards the kitchen while making one more half-hearted and unsuccessful attempt to tie her apron. Elizabeth or Taomi were nowhere in sight, but Janice was at a wash basin, standing on a stool and doing the dishes.
Morning.
Morning.
Unlike her, Janice didn't look displeased doing the dishes, just that atypical face of contentment that he usually wore.
Where is everyone?
Mom's running the store. Taomi is out on an errand.
He didn't look up at her, but continued scrubbing a plate. Heather side plate at the table, which must have been for her. She'd been the last one up. She stepped forward some, head hanging in embarrassment a little.
Janice, can you please?
She didn't finish her sentence, unable to bring herself to say the rest. Her gaze was focused on the floor, barely noticing Janice getting off his stool.
Sure.
He didn't look upset as he took hold of her apron ribbons, walking behind her to tie them. Heather clasped her hands together, wringing them in self-pity. She did her best to look over her shoulder to check his progress. Janice fiddled with the fabric for a moment before tying it with ease, pulling it snug and arranging the bow evenly.
Is that comfortable?
Heather nodded in relief.
Yeah, thanks.
Janice noticed her mood, touching her arm lightly.
It's all right. You don't have to feel bad. Taomi was horrible at it for a while, too. Both Mom and I helped her lots of times before she got it.
She managed a smile before plopping down at the seat where her food was. His family had been nothing but gracious towards her since the incident over a month ago. They tried to integrate her into their daily lifestyle as best as they could, successful most of the time. However, Heather often messed up her tasks. She startled easily, clumsily tripping or dropping things. Sometimes her mind wandered too much to even focus.
If only my life hadn't been screwed up so bad. I would be living a normal life. Parents, maybe some siblings. Maybe not traumatized like this. I wouldn't be so frightened of the dark, having nightmares. Keep seeing monsters and fainting everywhere.
The image of the cave flashed in front of her eyes again. The faint glow down the passageway. The dull roar and blackness. The insatiable desire to find what was the cause of that glow. The fear of the form she had seen.
Janice, are there any caves around Ellawood?
Her hunger got the best of her, causing her to dig into the plate of beans, a poached egg, and a biscuit.
Caves? I don't think so.
Heather gingerly took a sip of her coffee.
Is there anything that's happened weird around anything like that?
Weird?
Yeah, scary, creepy stuff. Or something like that.
Janice looked at her over his shoulder, amused.
Trying to prove you're not a scaredy cat?
What gives you that idea?
Her voice had a defensive edge to it.
The only times the other boys go looking for those kinds of things is if they want a thrill or to prove they're brave.
Heather couldn't blame him. She must look weird, wanting to go seek out something scary, especially someone of her background.
I heard some people talking about it. I just wanted to figure it out. That's all.
Janice got off the stool, coming over to her. He listened intently, meeting her gaze when she looked over at him.
So you're trying to solve it?
His voice was quite earnest, without any judgment. Perhaps there was a bit of curiosity in there as well.
Yeah.
Heather gathered her thoughts back together. She looked at the young boy for a minute, forgetting that she was staring. Heather wasn't really friends with Janice, and the idea of him being around still puzzled her. She never had siblings, so it was a completely new experience dealing with him. Elizabeth's past words filled her mind.
Treat him nice. You can hold his hand, pat him on the head, hug him up now and then. Give him things such as candy or a pastry. Play games with him, or read him a book. Take him along when you run an errand. Think of him as a little companion that you're invested in.
Can you go with me? Help me out and keep me company?
Was that even a right thing to ask? Having a boy tag along with an almost adult woman like her? On such a scary errand?
Sure. Besides, I don't think Mom would let you go out alone, just in case someone tried to hurt you again. We still don't know what happened with your dad up at the house.
Heather didn't respond, trying to suppress the painful feelings from the incident. She pressed her lips in a flat line and tried to look as brave as she could. She didn't want to think about it, nor know what a young boy could do to defend her. Still, she'd rather have some form of company than wandering alone.
Okay. Let's go.
She shoved her plate away.
Hey, I have to wash that now,
Janice teased.
We do that first.
A while later, Heather and Janice were out and about Ellawood. They had spent an hour walking around various spots to see if there was anything remotely resembling a cave. Unfortunately, they had found nothing. Janice had vaguely asked one or two grown-ups if they knew anything, but with no success.
This is turning nowhere fast,
Heather grumbled dejectedly. She shuffled along one of the main cobblestone roads, hands thrust deep into her apron pockets out of comfort. Janice seemed quite baffled as well.
I had no idea there wasn't a single cave here. Almost every island I have ever been on has had one of some sort.
Heather was quiet for a good moment or two, the wheels turning in her head.
What if it isn't a cave? Is there anything like coals, burrows, or shafts? Or anything even like that?
Janice stopped walking for a moment, looking up at her with a bit of hesitation. Heather could tell that there was something he had thought of.
Well, what is it?
There's kind of a place like that. We might get in trouble, though.
What do you mean?
Heather didn't want Janice to clam up on her. She sidled close, resting an arm around his shoulder to urge him to continue talking.
A good while back, they dug up a well at McLean's orchard, but something happened. They never finished the well. A bunch of people went up there one day, and that was it. They told all the kids to never go to that place, and said we could be killed.
Why?
Heather could feel her heart rate quicken in anticipation and fear.
Mom said the hole was very deep and we could kill ourselves if we accidentally fell in, but...
Yes?
The boys and some of the townsfolk say they can hear screaming coming from the well now and then, like a loud wail of some sort, like a woman screaming and crying, but unnatural. That's all I know.
Heather held him to her side, partially out of fear, the same feeling she had felt in her dream.
Can you show me?
Mom won't be happy. What if we hurt ourselves?
Janice locked eyes with her, still hesitant. Heather felt a pang of guilt in her stomach, taking a deep breath.
We'll be careful, and the first sign of trouble, we'll leave. Maybe we should take some things with us first, like a lantern and some rope.
Two lanterns.
Janice held up two fingers. Heather squeezed his shoulder with a shy smile. Inside, she prayed that they'd be fine.
All right, two lanterns.
It was late in the afternoon as Janice and Heather arrived at a large wooden fence off a dirt path. It had been hidden away by several large bushes about Heather's height.
Everything looks so abandoned.
Heather mused, approaching the fence cautiously. A low hill was visible beyond, the grass tall and peppered with weeds.
Mr. McLean had a lot of land. After his wife died, he stopped taking care of parts of the orchard. I heard he's supposed to plant new trees and trim everything next year.
Janice had carried the lanterns, having pushed them under the fence. Heather had the rope over her shoulder. She tossed it over, placing her foot on one of the fence boards as she began to climb over.
Are you really sure about this? What if Mr. McLean catches us?
Heather paused, having pulled her skirts up to make it over. One leg was already on the other side as she tried to keep her balance. Until now, she hadn't quite thought of the consequences for trespassing.
Guess we have to be real quiet.
Heather swung her other leg over, briefly wincing at a poke from the rough wooden planks. She jumped to the ground, pulling on her skirts that had snagged on the fence. After setting her appearance straight, the duo picked up their equipment, standing in place for a moment.
Where now?
I don't know. I never went to the well. I only know where the lot is. I'm sorry.
Janice shook his head.
It's okay. Let's hope that when they stopped, they left a clue so we could find it.
Heather patted his head and started through the tall grass. The two spread out a little, within 10 to 20 feet of the other. The land was a lot of small hills, with apple trees scattered sparsely. A few had died and stood lifeless. One had even fallen over. Heather had mixed emotions. If they weren't on someone else's land, and searching for a horrifying secret to quell her nightmare, she would have enjoyed this a lot more. The walk was calming, and it felt liberating to be outdoors doing things like this without anybody griping at her about how to be mannerly or how to act more ladylike. Even Elizabeth, carefree to a point, had to chide and remind Heather that she was a young woman. Still, Heather was starting to get attached to Janice. He was patient and kind with her. He wasn't rowdy and aggravating towards other people like most boys were. Rather, he was very thoughtful and quiet. He didn't mind her company and knew that she had issues of her own. It helped that she was able to show affection and kindness to him herself, establishing a basic bond between them.
If only I could get a chance to actually get a relationship with Elizabeth, instead of being some misfit girl she has to fuss over. At least I'm getting a taste of what it's like to have a little brother around. I think.
The sound of her name broke through her thoughts. She looked up, seeing Janice standing 25 feet from her, motioning her over.
I think I found it.
His voice was quiet, in line with their previous agreement of being sneaky. She scooped up her skirts and ran over, coming to a halt next to him.
Where?
He didn't answer, pointing to what appeared to be a large, old-fashioned well, an abandoned bucket next to it. It had a wide mouth, a bit larger of a well than Heather had ever seen. Whatever the case was, a lot of work had gone into it. Heather grasped Janice's shoulders from behind, unsure of their next step.
Come on.
Chapter 2: What Lay Below.
What do we do now?
The question was mostly directed to herself, although a second opinion would have been nice.
What do you mean? You're the one who wanted to come out here.
Janice's voice had a bit of a scolding tone. Heather's cheeks flushed.
I was just thinking out loud to myself, I suppose.
She straightened her posture and tentatively went forward, coming to the edge of the well. It had aged, covered with moss and lichens. The circular mouth was made 6 feet across and with cobblestone cemented together. Heather gripped the mouth, looking over. The well went down into darkness, but she could make out a puddle, reflecting light on the bottom. The walls seemed to narrow, but didn't match up with the dirt that was barely visible. Janice peeked over, shoulder brushing hers. Unlike her, he was a bit more cautious about the affair. After all, this was the same well that his mother had said could kill him.
It looks like any old well, except there's no water. Smells horrible, too.
He pinched his nose, trying to wave the smell away. Heather took a deep sniff, coughing and gagging on the horrible stench that reached her nostrils.
Not doing that again.
She started to find a spot to fasten the rope. It was a long length from the blacksmith, about 10 yards or so. Heather had no doubt that it had reached the bottom. In her estimation, the well was about 15 feet deep. Heather found 2 iron loops on opposite sides of the well's exterior. She did a double square knot to keep it in place, looking back over the edge.
Here, pass me the lanterns.
Heather motioned for the lamps, picking up the other end of the rope. Janice complied wordlessly, observing her tie the 2 by the handles before reaching back over the well. Heather stretched her arm out, letting the lanterns dangle before easing them into the well. The rope passed through her fingers as the lamps reached the bottom a moment later. She had tied knots and footholds every foot or so. It wasn't uniform, but it was better than nothing. Yanking on the rope to test its strength, she took a deep breath and stuck a leg over the edge of the well's mouth.
Heather, be careful!
Janice warned. Concern was on his face as he tried to see what she was doing. Heather didn't answer. She managed to place one of her feet into one of the footholds. Grabbing another with her hands, she pulled herself over. She hung from the rope as she struggled to see where to put her foot next, slowly letting go with one hand and starting her descent. Admittedly, it didn't go as fast as she liked. Her dress made it hard to see where to step next, and despite having done chores around the place, she was out of breath in a few minutes. By the time she reached the bottom, she was huffing and puffing. When her foot sunk into the soft dirt, Heather glanced around. It didn't seem that dark down here. Some bedrock was visible, the puddle she had seen from above not too far from her. It was damp and cold. She stumbled from her workout, leaning against the wall to catch her breath. She looked up, seeing Janice gazing down at her from above.
Come on!
She motioned for him to come down. Janice didn't answer. At first, she was certain that he would not even follow her down. But by the time she had untied the lanterns from the end of the rope, he had scurried down most of the way. Her companion was quiet as she lit one of the lamps from matches in her apron pocket. He patiently waited for her to light the other, taking the large one his mother typically used. Heather was left with the smaller mining lantern, which also belonged to the family, but was rarely used. It was more of a family heirloom.
There's not much to look at, huh?
Janice stepped away, lifting his lantern to illuminate the bottom of the well. With the two of them, there wasn't a lot of room to stand, much less anything to discover.
No, there isn't.
Heather was confused. How was something that screamed supposed to be at the bottom here? She could certainly understand how a small boy could fall to his death, or be severely injured from falling in. But a screaming voice didn't make sense. Not at all.
Mud. Bedrock. Huh. Look!
Janice stomped his foot down on loose dirt. His heel made a dull knocking, a sound that rock and dirt didn't make. They dug away at the soil, using their feet to push the soil aside. Planks came into view, buried beneath a scattering of dirt thin enough to hide them.
They might give way! Don't stand directly on them!
Heather tugged Janice back. Her eyes watched how the wood ran, attempting to determine an edge. She put her lantern down, fingers digging into the dirt and yanking up a large plank. A portion of a hole was revealed. An odd sulfuric smell filled the air for a moment, emanating from the covered spot.
Another hole! I wonder if the workmen dug this out!
Janice mused. Heather's arms shook a little as she dropped the plank unexpectedly. She reached for the rest and pulled them away, a total of 3 planks, covering the opening. She and Janice were silent, nothing but their breathing audible as they crouched to peer inside. The hole was a rough opening about 2 feet wide, an old ladder nailed into the bedrock. A current of air blew upwards, causing a low droning whistle.
It looks too natural. I see pieces that look smooth, but I think they ran across this when they were digging.
She was certain that something was there. If Janice was right, the people who worked on the well must have sealed this hole up to prevent something from getting in, or from getting out.
But what if that thing in my dream is down there? What if it gets me or hurts Janice? Should I go any further? Do you think it's safe?
She honestly was a bit afraid having come this far. Her heart knew that something was wrong, stomach clenching in fear. They were at the doorstep of something that a young woman and a boy weren't supposed to meddle with.
The ladder may not be, but the hole is pretty narrow. You can stop yourself if you fall.
He looked up at her.
Are you thinking of going down?
Heather took a deep breath, nodding.
I'll go first. If the ladder can hold me, it will definitely support you.
She swung her feet into the hole, realizing how inconvenient her shapely work dress would make her descent. Heather did her best to stuff it into the hole, making sure her feet had a good foothold on the ladder before starting down. Her mind had 1,000 thoughts going through her head as she took step after step, frequently having to push her dress down to avoid snagging. She was mainly concerned about their safety. She dreaded what lay in wait at the bottom, whether it was an actual nightmare or a hazardous place. Janice might have had a pocket knife on him, but nothing more. Heather came back to reality, realizing that this was a long descent. She looked up to see that Janice's light was a distant flicker. She must have crossed 40 feet or so. About 15 rungs later, Heather cried out and nearly had a heart attack when her foot missed the spot where the next rung would have been. She clung to the ladder in fear and eased herself down slowly, foot kicking and feeling if the ladder continued. The shaft opened up as her skirts fell into place, heel scraping smooth limestone and finding a footing on gravel. Heather squeezed her eyes shut and slowly let go. When she didn't fall to her death, she opened her eyes and took a few steps back.
Are you okay?
Janice called down. His voice was a bit faint, echoing within the passageway. Heather raised her lantern to examine the new space around her. Her heart thumped in her chest, feeling locked in as she realized that the area had a low ceiling that barely touched her head. The space stretched out in all directions, stalagmites and stalactites everywhere. The air was stale, bothering her lungs. The lamp cast numerous shadows, the flickering flame causing them all to move at once.
Heather!
Janice called again, a bit louder.
I'm fine. It opens up into a cave down here.
Okay, I'm coming down.
Please do.
Heather was jittery, standing rigid and wishing Janice would get here faster. The air moaned, making her blood run cold as she shivered in her shoes. Her eyes tried to determine where to go next. She could faintly make out a wall in the distance, but dared not take a step alone. It seemed to take an eternity for Janice to arrive beside her. A sigh of relief left her lungs as she saw his familiar face, almost certain she looked grateful.
There is a cave in Ellawood after all.
Janice was incredulous, turning around completely in place. Heather grasped his arm with a soft whimper, looking for some sort of comfort from the darkness around her. Janice gave her a judging glance.
You've been jumping quiet since we got here. Are you all right? You look scared.
A little.
She squeaked, feeling her cheeks burn. So much for looking like the brave girl that came here in the first place. It didn't make her feel better when Janice frowned, pulling free of her grasp. However, he didn't walk away. He took her hand instead, pulling on her to follow along. Heather went without qualm, holding his hand tightly while working on gathering up her courage. She frequently had to crouch to avoid banging her head on any rocks. The entire space was a round chamber, the only way to proceed forward being a large crevice in a corner. It was a large V, a bit on the narrow side. The wind blew in their faces with varying degrees of force. Heather could smell the air again, and it was clear, laced with water and something else she couldn't determine. Her hair stuck to her face as Janice pushed the lantern inside.
It goes into a passageway. There must be an opening up there where the air is coming down from the surface.
He checked to make sure the ground was safe before stepping in. He easily fit inside the crevice. Heather had a bit more difficulty squeezing through, but made it regardless. Her lantern flickered because of the moving air, thankful that Janice's lantern was resistant to such things. The passageway went along for a short bit, tall but narrow. Heather didn't spy anything out of the ordinary, wondering how far this cave system carried underground. She completely forgot how to keep how much time had gone by. She didn't want to spend hours beneath the ground, much less be home at night and scolded by Elizabeth. She nearly stumbled into Janice when they came to yet another crevice. This one opened up into a smaller chamber with a high ceiling. The wind they had felt at the entrance was here once again, howling as it blew around them.
A dead end.
Heather couldn't see where else they could proceed. However, there were several large holes in the walls of the chamber, most of them several feet above them.
That's where the cave must connect to the surface,
Janice noted. He pointed to one of the holes, no bigger than his lantern.
Yeah.
Heather's feet were rooted to the ground, her heartbeat quickening. Something seemed out of place. She couldn't tell what it was immediately, but it hit her that there was a smell in the air for a brief moment. That rotten sulfur-like smell from when they pulled up the planks earlier. Until now, she hadn't smelled it. Just like that, it was gone again, leaving the musty cave interior. There was a tug on her skirt, causing Heather to nearly jump out of reflex. It was Janice, pointing to something in the cave wall.
Look!
He looked somewhat mystified. There was a large hole that she hadn't noticed earlier, about 7 feet from them. It was larger than the others, almost as narrow as the shaft that had led down to the lower cave. Inside was a soft green light.
A light? What could...
Heather tried to tiptoe, but was unable to reach to see. It was simply too far above her head.
Here, let me look. Help me up.
Janice walked up to the wall and raised his foot. Heather cupped her hands together, bending down to give Janice a foot up. Janice placed his foot in her grasp and stood up. He held onto the wall for balance, his hands grasping the edge of the hole to look inside. Heather grunted in effort and tried to support him, looking up to check his progress.
What do you see?
Jenna squinted into the darkness.
I can't tell. It's far in there. Maybe I can fit.
Oh, Janice, be careful.
Heather pleaded. She knew that if he got stuck or hurt, there was absolutely nothing she could do to help him. Janice started to scramble up, his free foot kicking for a foothold. Heather hoisted him up to the best of her ability as he wriggled inside. He seemed to make it, but it looked like a tight fit.
Can you tell what it is now?
It looks like a rock.
Janice's voice was muffled. His feet started to disappear inside the hole.
Don't get stuck. If you can't fit, don't go further.
Heather warned. It sounded like Janice responded, but she couldn't positively tell. Her body was tense and nervous, realizing that she was spiraling downwards into something out of her control. It was easy to make a small slip-up, and both of them could get hurt. She hadn't even been truthful to why she was down here. She was beginning to second-guess her decisions for that day. Heather secretly hoped that wouldn't be the case.
Chapter 3: The Unspeakable Thing.
Heather could hear Janice making his way down the hole. She waited pensively, feeling quite alone. How far had Janice gone? Would he be all right? What was making the glow? She wished he could have taken a lantern with him. Heather didn't doubt that he had a source of light to go by, but it would have put her mind at ease. She was overthinking what could happen or lie in wait. She paced back and forth a little, listening the best she could. After a moment, she looked up at the hole.
How are you doing? Are you all right?
I'm fine. It's a little snug, and it looks like the light is up ahead. I feel twitchy and nervous.
Poor thing.
She remembered that Janice didn't like small spaces. He probably was freaking out a little about the cave around him.
Just go slowly. Keep your hands out in front of you. If it gets worse, just start moving backwards.
All right.
Heather exhaled, folding her arms and looking around the chamber. She dared not leave the hole, even though she couldn't help Janice. However, she couldn't help but wonder what was down the other holes. She picked up Janice's lantern that was on the ground, wandering over to one of the smaller holes that she could reach. Lifting the light up, she tried to peer inside. The hole was an oval shape, with a smooth but bumpy surface. It seemed to twist sideways 10 feet in, preventing any further view. She could feel the air blowing into her face from wherever the hole opened up at. Heather pulled her face away, picking another hole to look into. The next couple of holes yielded similar results. None had anything interesting or unique about them. Despite this, a few moments had passed, her attention returning back to Janice when he called out.
Heather, I got it. It's some strange crystal.
That's great. Can you see anything else?
There was silence for a moment.
There's a bigger space here. I'm gonna try and turn around.
How big?
Not very much. The ceiling is still low.
Heather's breaths quickened a little, anticipating Janice's discovery. She noticed that the green glow was getting a bit brighter. Then it hit her again. That sulfur smell had returned. Heather shuddered as it filled her nostrils. This time she could feel her muscles rebelling. An ever so subtle thump was heard in the main passageway. She gasped as she whirled around, seeing nothing but the lamplight that faded into the gaping darkness. There was another thump as she jumped again, her heart rate through the roof. She held her breath and balled her fists when a faint rattling resounded behind her. Her eyes landed on the wall with the various holes, the rattling echoing through the cave. It was akin to someone dragging heavy sticks along cobblestone. The sound seemed to move from hole to hole. As if on cue, because Heather was studying the wall so intently, the noise stopped all of a sudden. Heather's common sense flew out the window as she took a few steps forward, eyebrows furrowed. The wind had stopped. The cave was completely silent except for her footsteps and the rustling of her underskirts as she moved. There was no visible changes in the holes as her eyes went to each one, half expecting for something to stick its head out and snarl. When that didn't happen, her shoulders sank a little, but she was still pensive about the situation. It was then that she realized that Janice hadn't yet emerged from the hole. Her mind raced into overdrive, immediately concerned for his safety. She turned and was about to call to him when her heart skipped a beat. A large pair of red eyes loomed in the darkness, barely glowing with their own light, out in the passageway, just at the entrance of the room they were in. The lantern light showed no visible body. Whatever it belonged to, it was much taller than her. There was a pensive silence for 2 seconds before Heather screamed, unable to deal with the sight. She stumbled backwards onto the ground, eyes shut and hands flying up in defense. She didn't recall much of anything except the dreadful smell. Her eyes flew open as she saw an actual head emerge into the cave, attached to a long, spindly body, still hiding in the shadows. The skin was black as night, giving an eerie effect that it was immaterial. The head was the size of a large flour sack. There was no doubt. That had to be it. Not at all like the thing in her dream, but it gave the same feeling. She had finally come face to face with it. Heather screamed again, heels uselessly kicking on the ground to scramble backwards. Her head hit the cavern wall, and she saw stars, dazed as her ears rang. She broke into tears, shielding her face for the worst. Just like that, it ended. It was gone. There was no evidence that there had been a skinny black specter that frightened the living daylights out of her. The smell had all but vanished, a faint wisp hanging in the air. Once more, the air had moved within the cavern, the smells of outside filling the chamber. Heather gasped for breath, sniffling and wiping tears. Her frayed nerves didn't help when she heard shuffling and saw a sudden appearance of green light. Janice appeared at the mouth of the shaft, an extremely worried look on his face.
Heather!
She couldn't find words to speak, but dashed over to help him down. She grabbed him from underneath his arms, dragging him out. However, she lost her balance, both of them tumbling to the ground. Janice scrambled off, helping her into a sitting position. She glanced back at the hallway, fully expecting to see the unspeakable thing staring back at her.
Heather! Hey!
Janice shook her shoulder, trying to get her attention. Heather turned back to him, her breathing finally returning to normal. He looked a bit scruffy, dust smudged all over his face and clothes. He was clutching a strange crystal in his hand, glowing in full radiance with its green light. She grabbed his shoulders urgently.
Janice, I saw something. It had big red eyes, and it came out of nowhere.
Heather stumbled and stammered over her words, attempting to relate to Janice what she had seen. He looked at her calmly. His expression didn't change very much.
I didn't hear anything strange.
Not even that noise, like sticks rattling.
Heather's face paled.
No, just you, screaming.
He was quiet for a moment, shaking his head.
You're a wreck and scared half to death. Let's get out of here.
Janice coaxed Heather to her feet, handing her the crystal to hang on to.
All right.
She responded with a shaky nod, having tucked the crystal away in her apron. The glow was strong enough that it showed through the fabric, giving an oddly pleasant effect. They picked up their lanterns, heading back to the ladder. Heather looked over her shoulder every few seconds, expecting those eyes or that face to be staring back at her. She stuck close to Janice, knowing for a fact that she would have been a goner if she had come here alone. When they had reached the initial area, Janice paused and raised his lantern higher. They hadn't fully explored the chamber, and he wanted to make sure that was all that was there.
Did you see that?
Heather gripped Janice tighter, eyes straining to see into the darkness.
What is it?
Janice pulled her a few steps forward, pointing to a clump of stalagmites.
There, the black spot, right in the middle of everything.
They moved closer until Heather was able to make out what Janice had been talking about. There was yet another hole that went straight into the ground, previously hidden by a cluster of stalagmites around the entrance. A few of the tips had been broken off. Heather peeked down, nothing but blackness greeting her. Her hand trembled as she caught a whiff of that sinister odor again, realizing that it came from the bottom of the hole. She pulled back quickly, eyes wide and frozen in fear.
Hey!
Janice tried to get her attention. He gave her a shake, looking about to get them back to the ladder until he caught sight of what Heather was focusing on. She grabbed his arm, voice almost a whisper.
Look.
On the side of the hole was a crudely drawn image. It was a strange figure with an enlarged head. It was outlined in white against the dark rock, having a primal and foreboding feel. It was clear that they had trespassed on some great evil. The two scrambled up the ladder, Janice going first. Heather wished she could tell him to go faster, despite the speed in which he had ascended. Nothing was a better motivator than imagining a hand grabbing her by the ankle and dragging her into the bowels of the underground. As Heather emerged and finally saw the small circle of later afternoon, she couldn't have been any happier. She pulled herself out into the well, a sigh of relief as her feet came into view.
Come on, we have to seal this back.
Heather grasped for the boards, hurriedly starting to cover the hole back. Janice didn't argue, helping to place the boards back to cover the opening. They tried to put as much dirt as they could to keep it in place before scrambling up the rope. As they climbed over the edge back into full daylight, Janice glanced back down at the two points of light at the bottom of the well.
Oh no! We forgot the lanterns!
He started back down the rope before Heather could stop him. But what was the point? They'd go home and get scolded for being irresponsible. Maybe even more trouble for meddling on someone else's property. They had to go back and get the lamps. Janice's feet touched the ground. He quickly outed the flames and tied the lanterns together with the end of the rope. Satisfied that they were secure, he started to climb up the rope. He was halfway up when he paused, looking around him in confusion.
Hey, do you smell that?
Heather's face filled with terror.
Janice! Get up here right now! Hurry!
Janice didn't move, still looking around him for the source of the odor. Heather took it upon herself to intervene, grabbing the rope and trying to pull him up. She wasn't sure if he had noticed till it was too late. There was an explosion of splintered wood as a black shape lunged towards him. Heather vividly witnessed the sudden terror in Janice's eyes as he was knocked around, the monstrosity grabbing him by the leg. Her heart caught in her throat, but she was unable to do anything, not even scream. Janice cried out as he attempted to grab at the rope, getting a hold as he furiously kicked for freedom. The creature loosened its grip as he scrambled up the rope again. When she saw that he was still alive, Heather leaned over the well, offering him her hand. She dared not use two, using the other to balance herself. Janice looked up and grabbed her wrist, letting go of the rope. He clung to her as Heather struggled with every muscle to pull him up. Below, the monster had attempted to jump up to grab him, unable to reach. The red eyes glared at her, almost causing her to falter. Janice tried to help by digging his heels into the cobblestone wall to go upwards. Janice was finally over the rim of the well. Heather grabbed him under the arms with her other hand, yanking him out completely. There was a loud thump as the creature tried to leap out again, only to hit the side of the well.
The rope! We have to take the rope!
Janice grabbed the rope and started to pull it out. Heather dropped to her knees and started to undo the knots with nervous fingers. Janice let out a cry as the rope tightened, the creature having grabbed hold of it. She loosened the last knot and the two of them pulled on the rope with all their might. The rope gave way as they fell backwards. Janice reached over a temporarily dazed Heather, yanking the lanterns out of the well. By the time he had gathered up the rope, Heather was back on her feet. There was another thump, and they took off as fast as their legs would carry them. By the time they had reached the top of the hill, Heather dared to look over their shoulder. That head was visible, peeking out of the well, causing her to let out a cry of distress. The creature emerged from the well. It was humanoid, about 10 feet tall, with a skinny rod-like body, its silhouette like a matchstick. The head was considerably large in relation to the rest of it. It had no mouth or nose. It didn't go after them, but continued to glare until they had disappeared out of sight. They had reached the fence, diving down beneath. Heather threw herself over the top, helping Janice from below before they streaked down the road. Heather looked back, seeing that the fence was over 100 feet away. She tried to keep pace with Janice, legs wobbling a little as her corset felt like a vice around her chest. When they passed a signpost, Heather slowed to a jog, then a fast walk, continuing to look over her shoulder before turning her attention to Janice.
Are you all right?
Janice flinched as Heather turned him around, looking him over.
I think so.
Heather let go, touching him to keep moving.
Come on.
Chapter 4. After It All.
Heather stood at the outside of the blacksmith's shop, her thoughts a mess. She had elected to wait outside, letting Janice return the rope they had borrowed. The last thing she wanted to do was to explain to someone what had happened, and she knew that the friendly blacksmith would ask her questions of what she actually did with the rope. The door creaked open, Janice coming out down the steps.
Did he take it?
Janice nodded. He looked a bit somber himself, as if the joy had been wiped from his face. That look alone made Heather's heart ache, hanging her head as she shuffled along behind him. The two kids started their voyage back home. The late afternoon was quiet, as if it had no clue as to what had happened at the well earlier.
Janice,
Yeah?
He looked up at her. Heather looked like she would cry. She grabbed him in a hug, squeezing him tightly as the tears flowed.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Janice was speechless, slowly returning the embrace as she went on.
Heather, it's okay. It's okay.
He wormed out of her embrace, patting her hand before starting to walk again.
Come on, let's go home. Maybe Mom can make you some coffee and it'll make you feel better.
Yeah.
It came out as a hoarse whisper. Heather wiped her eyes with the back of her sleeve. She continued on, shoulders hunched and hands thrust deep into her apron pockets. Nothing seemed to make the hurt and mistakes that she made go away. She had worked so hard to foster something good with someone that she liked and even trusted. Now she was afraid that she'd lose all of that. Would Janice keep his mouth shut? What would Elizabeth do to her? Would Janice ever trust her again?
You still have that rock, right?
Heather's head snapped up, caught off guard by his question. That was the last thing she expected to hear from him.
Of course, here.
Heather tugged the quartz-like formation out of her pocket, handing it over to Janice. Janice turned the crystal over in his hands. Even in the bright daylight, the glow was still faintly visible. He shook it a few times before holding it out for her to examine.
I don't know a whole lot about stuff like this, but it reminds me of something Melvina described when I was on my voyage.
What do you think it is?
Heather's curiosity perked up a little, a hand reaching forward to gingerly poke it.
I think it's probably Enel's fire.
Heather took the crystal back, carefully returning it to her apron. The name was completely lost on her, but the way Janice had said it suggested the rock was something revered or valued. She patted the pocket to make sure it was safe, sidling closer to him.
What's that? Something rare?
Something like that. I don't think it's worth a whole lot or has a real practical use, but from what I understand, it only comes from one place, the lower fire lair.
She most definitely knew what that was. Below the clouds of their supposed paradise, the world got more dangerous and more inhospitable. The fire layer was the most extreme layer that man had ever made it to and survived to tell the tale. It was filled with numerous storms, an almost pitch black night and liquid iron that rained down into the further depths.
So someone got that and brought it here. How'd it get to the bottom of the well?
Heather was puzzled. Janice shook his head.
I don't think so. Alvina said that sometimes people can find Enel's fire inside the upper islands. She said it meant that before the islands rose up here and were able to support life, that it was a sign that they had been formed down in the fire layer, or deeper.
Heather's jaw slackened, in disbelief of how Janice explained what the rock meant. Here she was, thinking it was some strange treasure prized for its glow. Within a minute of his information, it had totally changed her view of the whole world. She stared down at her feet, then all about her, at the land of Ellowood. She tried to imagine it as a large barren rock, floating in the hellish underworld, eventually arriving here to have the current life flourish on it.
I'm just a little amazed that a young boy like you knows all of that.
Heather had a prominent blush on her face in admiration.
I'm not that little. I'll be 11 soon.
Okay, but still. I don't suppose you have some insight on that thing, huh?
Her voice wavered, eyes darting frantically to check his response. Janice's face grew cold for a moment, shuddering a little.
I don't. Nothing explains how something like that would be there. I never saw or heard about anything like that before. But I think you were more sensitive to it somehow. That's why you were able to hear it so easily back in the caves.
Janice glanced to the side of the path to make sure it was only them around.
Why did you want to go looking around there in the first place?
The way Janice looked at Heather made her want to go hide under a rock.
I had a dream about the place.
It was a meek answer, but the truth. She told him about the dream and how she kept having it for over a week. And then the urge to find that location in her dream to solve herself.
Why didn't you tell me?
Heather stopped, looking like she could cry again.
I was afraid you wouldn't help me, or you would be scared and not go, or even tell your mother that I'm crazy.
I can't blame you. I didn't know you too well to trust you, or you to trust me. But we could have been smarter about the whole thing, maybe even get Talmy to help us. It actually is a disaster if you think about it.
I'm sorry, I don't know what else to say.
The tears flowed as she stood in place. All the words and memories that Elizabeth had drummed in her head meant nothing at this point. She was faced with the realization that she actually liked Janice. Now it was hurting her that things weren't well between them. Janice stopped, turned around, and stared at her for a moment. He walked over, gently taking a hold of her hand.
I know you don't want to hear this, but I think we need to tell Mom.
His grasp made her heart calm, but not his words.
Something's going on with you, Heather. I don't know what it is. You come to our house banging on the door saying there's monsters attacking you. The next day your house isn't there and your dad vanished into thin air. Then you get a repeating dream about a rare rock and a monster underground. Somehow, you're able to sense a monster much more easily than I could.
He shook his head in disbelief with a deep breath.
You need to trust us. Tell us what's going on. Otherwise, we'll never be able to help you.
Heather nodded, a bit shell-shocked at his response. It was so serious. She couldn't fathom how this was the same boy washing dishes that morning.
Tell Mom. Tell us. If you can't do it for yourself, do it for me, okay?
His face softened, looking a bit more calm. She sniffled, holding onto his hand tightly as he started to walk once again. She stayed close, refusing to let go.
I guess it's obvious, huh?
A smile finally broke free on her face. Janice smiled, his own cheeks darkening a bit.
It is. At least tell me and Mom keep a straight face about it. You blunder and blush like crazy.
Oh, stop it, you.
Heather admitted sheepishly, her face turned away.
See? What did I say? Red cheeks. Look at yourself.
She couldn't help but smile in spite of herself. Heather dreaded the talk that would occur when they got home, but it already seemed that a part of her troubles had been lifted. For the first time in ages, she felt that life actually had something special for her.
Come on, let's go home.
How did I end up? Hey, what's up? I'm Chelsea, and I want to thank you guys for listening to this audio drama of The Screaming Well. If you like what you heard and want to see what else Heather gets mixed up in, head over to JenNeilH.com to read up on the monthly installments. There's some other cool stuff there as well, so check it out. If you subscribe to his mailing list, not only will you get a high-quality MP3 of this drama, but also a free copy of his novella, The Haunting of Rotherwood. And I mean, who doesn't like free? So go check it out. Again, thank you so much for listening. Remember to be kind and stay rad.